The scripture reading this morning is from Book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. The new life in Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God. So the gospel reading is from Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Salt and Light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the gospel of Christ.
Several years ago, while I was serving this congregation of First UMC of Riverside, I was also privileged to be part of East District's DPAS, D-P-A-S. DPAS stands for District Committee on Planning and Strategy. This committee is mainly tasked with analyzing community demographic changes and assessing local church resources to guide missional development. Under this DPAS, there is a special subcommittee called Paragraph 213 Task Force that works closely with the Committee on Buildings and Locations and the District Union. This term, Paragraph 213, refers to the Paragraph 213 of the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church. Paragraph 213 outlines a formal process for district superintendent to appoint a task force to study a local church's potential mission and viability, resulting in recommendations for its future, such as redevelopment, merger, or closure. So, whenever any local church starts showing serious declining patterns and signs continuously for certain concerning time period, and at last reach to a point when not only it cannot be self-supporting, but also it is considered to be dying to closure, this Paragraph 213 team is officially activated by the district superintendent for assessment and evaluations. This 213 team's mission is to study and recommend, but the final decision of a resolution is ultimately made by the bishop, the cabinet, and finally ratified by a majority vote at the annual conference for final approval for merger or closure or revitalization. I had involved in this Paragraph 1213 process team for a few congregations while I was serving with this task force. I remember a couple of times I had to drive all the way to UMC of 29 Palms, about 100 miles from here, for paragraph 213 task force meeting. I cannot remember all the details, but according to my memory, after having a prayerful and careful process, another UMC congregation in the near proximity merged into this congregation. Another case was Arlington UMC in Riverside. Arlington UMC was one of the churches that were closed. And at that time, some of the Arlington UMC members transferred their membership to First UMC right here of Riverside. And even though it was a sad ending for Arlington, we, First UMC of Riverside, welcomed those transferring members. And we are grateful that now they are amazingly faithful and active members of First UMC of Riverside. Anyhow, it is always sad to learn if any church is considered to be disbanded or closed permanently, mainly due to a decline. Yes, the decline of membership or decline of finance, whichever comes first, but generally both declines come at the same time. Of course, nothing is permanent under the sun. It doesn't matter how long their glorious histories have been. It doesn't matter how much they cherish their old good memories of their past. It doesn't matter how beautiful and huge buildings they enjoy. We all know that church is not a building, but a people. Of course, this term church also refers to a church building, like sanctuary, as a house of God, and is still important. However, church is indeed a community of God's people who gather together for worship, nurture, outreach, service, and more. It's all about people. Yes, we are in the people business by loving people, inviting people to Christ, and equipping people as faithful disciples of Christ. So, in this sense and context, we are called to be not only a faithful church, but also a fruitful church. We are called to pursue God's fruitfulness and God's harvest by bearing fruit. This morning, I'd like to share with you my sermon entitled "The Two Most Powerful Words for Fruitful Leadership." And these two most powerful words are "so that." "So that" is a subordinating conjunction used to explain the purpose or reason for an action. Even though these two words, "so that," are basic, simple, and ordinary in terms of our pursuit of fruitfulness, these can be mighty powerful in our mission and ministry settings. Thus, I'd like to share with you my three insight points. Number one, a fruitful church always asks, "So that what?" for every ministry. One of the biblical examples of using these two words, "so that," would be the words of Apostle Paul in Romans. Verse 2 from this morning's scripture reading, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Can you see here how these two words so that indicate the purpose in this Paul's proclamation. We, the church, are accountable for accomplishing outcomes that move us toward the mission. So true fruitfulness requires moving beyond simply performing church activities to asking, so that what? For every ministry. We must be intentional about why our ministries do exist and the specific spiritual result we expect to produce. One of the examples in our church settings would be Vacation Bible School that everyone loves, right? VBS, that we hold every year. We can make a statement why we are doing this VBS, right? Just like we're saying, we are going to hold a VBS so that the children of our church will come and to know and love God more, and that we will reach children and their families in the community with God's love, whom we have not reached before, unquote. Yes, with these so that words, it is clear that a VBS is not just one of those annual educational programs, but also an opportunity to reach out to the community with God's love. Yes, in many cases, we kind of know why we are doing certain things in certain ways. However, these two words, so that, help us to realize and to affirm our common goal and outcome together. We are blessed with several committees and ministries in our church. If you are chairpersons, leaders, and members, please try applying these so that into your mission statement, then you would realize that your ministries are purpose-driven while focusing on outcome, not just meeting or activity itself. Yes, these two words, so that, can be mighty powerful if your committee or ministry remembers and clarifies your own purpose and mission. Number two, a fruitful church intentionally shifts its emphasis from activity to impact. One of the most famous and favorite Bible verses for many people around the world might be John 3:16, right? I'm sure most of you, if not all, can recite this verse by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Please pay attention that this verse includes the two powerful words, so that, as well. Yes, a double so that is used in this NIV verse. Just as God's actions are always directed toward a transformative purpose, those fruitful leaders and fruitful congregations must transition from merely managing programs or holding events to focusing on the fruit outcomes. Again, we are called to be a fruitful church. So we must intentionally shift our emphasis from activity to impact and transformation. And we are called to ensure that resources are used for the advancement of God's reign, and that those programs produce God's harvest. Number three, a fruitful church must be clear about what kind of fruit They are growing and must never give up in doing what is right. Gardeners and farmers do not just plant unknown seeds randomly and hope for the best. No, they would never do so. But they plant everything and anything faithfully and carefully with a good harvest in mind, always. In this sense, churches also must be clear about what kind of fruit they are growing. Are we sowing to the Spirit, anticipating fruit of God's righteousness? Or are we sowing to our own desire, agenda, selfish ego, or flesh? In Paul's letter to Galatians, Apostle Paul encourages believers to bear fruit from the Spirit. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So, discernment and patience are key words here. Apostle Paul urges us not to give up in bearing fruit for God's harvest. So let us, verse 9 says, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Yes, visionary leaders and congregations are required to define their desired fruit so that they can clearly focus their energy and resources effectively on a God-sized vision for God's harvest. Therefore, in everything we do as the active body of Christ, such as discipleship, serving the poor, community transformation, this clarity should enable us to be faithful and fruitful. We, the whole congregation members, are leaders and co-workers, yes. And we are called to serve as servant leaders, just as Jesus showed us how to be humble, yet proactively fruitful. So, the goal of leadership is not simply to be busy, but to witness transformation through intentional, fruitful actions. My sisters and brothers in Christ, Jesus proclaims that we are the light of the world, and we are called to let our light shine before others. Why? Here are the most powerful tools again. Verse 16 from Matthew text, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Exactly. My sermon series, Bearing Fruit, is to be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.